Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Shout out to Ahmet, who's hanging out in the tent. Brought a misting fan. It's pretty damn impressive. Between the new tent and new fan, we're living out here at Landfill. It's like I'm on vacation. To help us celebrate our vacation, we're going to talk to our boy Henry McKenna. Old Hank was once my intern 100 years ago. He's now an AFC East reporter for Fox Sports. He's covered the Patriots for all sorts of outlets in Boston. Henry, what's going on, man? How are you, buddy?
Yo, JP, it's good. I learned a thing or two by editing you, like, what was it? It must have been like almost 10 years ago, like 8 years ago. It's crazy.
It's definitely a while ago, man, and great to see the new gig with Fox. So they got you covering the whole AFC East, dude. So, I don't know. We can start and go north to south, maybe. I know that you've been covering the Patriots for a long time, so you know the organization well. From what I'm reading up there, it looks like they're maybe having some offensive struggles in camp. And I know folks are excited about Mac Jones, but it's unclear about play calling and all sorts of stuff up there. What do you make of the Patriots so far?
Yeah, I think it's definitely fair at this point to say that the offense is struggling. It's been multiple practices where they enter 11-on-11 sessions, and as most NFL fans probably know at this point, that's the most valuable time of every practice. There's lots of position drills, there's 7-on-7 drills, but 11-on-11 is really where we can evaluate the team properly, and that's actually where the offense has been at its very worst. The 7-on-7 drills are a little bit better, and the individual drills are actually kind of impressive for the offense, at least. And 11-on-11 is where it all seems to fall apart. And so that obviously points to the five guys that you throw in the mix, offensive line, or the four guys. So if there's a live pass rush and that's throwing stuff off, then maybe you've got an offensive line problem. And the Patriots have a new offensive line coach in Matt Patricia, who obviously came over a few years ago from Detroit. He's also, it seems like, kind of the de facto offensive coordinator. The Patriots didn't name an offensive coordinator, but he's kind of taking the lead on play calling. So there's a lot of questions there, which is like, how is the power structure working, and is it working? Because it doesn't really seem to be yet.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wanted to dig into that a little bit. I get that it's Bill Belichick, and he's arguably the greatest coach of all time, and he has always kind of bucked convention and done things his own way. But Matt Patricia was his D coordinator for a long time, then got the job in Detroit where he hired people to run the offense and ran the defense. Now, all of a sudden, Matt Patricia is the offensive coordinator up there. Like, does it get to a point, like, you know how rock stars kind of can do whatever they want in their career and they're making great music and everything, even the weird stuff they do, people are like, man, that's cool. But at a certain point, their music starts to suck and they put out like their eighth album and nobody's buying it. And then when they dress up like a lizard, everybody's like, yo, what is this guy doing? Like, are we close to that stage with Belichick up there? What is he doing right now?
Yeah, I think there is a very fine line between challenging the status quo and making these quirky but eventually successful decisions and getting into the territory of hubris. I actually wrote a column about this on Fox Sports, so the listeners should check it out. it was questioning whether this triumvirate of coaches, none of whom have a lot of offensive experience, and so it's, I said Matt Patricia, and Belichick's got his hands all over this offense, and Joe Judge is the third guy. And obviously Joe Judge is infamous for that awful failure of a play where he had, you know, Daniel Jones like kneel the ball, and then it was a mess. That whole
Didn't Joe Judge come up as a special teams guy?
Yeah, so Judge was special teams. In his final year with the Patriots, he actually did special teams and receivers, but that was like the first year that N'Keal Harry was there, and N'Keal Harry has been a bust. That was the year Mohamed Sanu came in for a second-round pick, and that didn't really work out for a trade. So he doesn't have a super strong resume for the offensive side of the ball, and he helped out with offense in New York, and obviously that offense wasn't super successful. The credentials aren't really there, and it would be fine if the offense was clicking right away, and everyone was like, oh, Belichick's doing it again. But now it's really complicated because he's put, you know, he's got this leadership brain trust, and the product on the field is far from being there. So at what point do they have to think about doing new stuff? The thing I actually haven't said yet that's important to know is they're rebuilding this offense. They're copying what Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan are doing. They're taking bits and pieces of those other offenses, and they're incorporating it, and they've simplified their offense. So this isn't Tom Brady's offense anymore. They're building something new, and they've got a strange group of people doing this sort of restructure on offense.
Yeah. We're talking with our friend Henry McKenna from Fox Sports, covers the AFC East. You can follow him at McKenna Analysis. Weird things in Foxborough. Yet there's a ton of excitement coming from the Jets. What have you seen with the Jets? How good is Zach Wilson? They got some interesting pieces. Are you buying this, this like, man, the Jets are a sleeper talk?
No. I can't buy it. Look, Zach Wilson is, he may be entertaining, both on the field and off of it, but he is not a particularly impressive quarterback, I don't think. I mean, his prospects after year one didn't wow me. And sounds like he's struggling in training camp a little bit. For example, today, you know, he took 5 sacks on a 6-play span. Now, obviously, that's in part because his offensive line is messy, and Mekhi Becton, their right tackle, he seems to be on the verge of being declared out for the year, or at least a substantial portion of it. This team is just too young, and Zach Wilson kind of needs, and we'll probably get to this, but kind of needs what Tua Tagovailoa has in Miami. Like, Wilson needs a group to really elevate him and develop him, and it's kind of the opposite. His supporting cast is a who's who of, like, young and high potential players. I just don't know if he's the guy that will be able to get the most out of that offense, and I think they're going to need at least one more year before it all kind of comes together.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, and I think the Jets are an interesting team because New York is such just a major media market, and because there are so many kind of national football analysts that grew up as Jets fans, I feel like the Jets can get hyped pretty quick, and I kind of think it's happening. And I don't know. I like Zach Wilson a ton at BYU. I think there's a big transition from running that to what he needs to do now for the Jets to get good. Before we go to the obvious favorite in the division, let's go south. Let's go down to Miami. Talk about the Dolphins. We're talking with our friend Henry McKenna, covers the AFC East for Fox Sports. So, obviously, the headliner is the trade for Tyreek Hill. Everybody's really excited about that. Hill's an incredible ball player, one of the fastest wideouts we've seen in a long time in the NFL. He will tell anybody that's listening that Tua is better than Patrick Mahomes, which is obviously laughable. What do you make of the Dolphins this year? Because, you know, they were able to string some wins together last year after a really poor start. New coach, young guy coming in from San Fran and Mike McDaniel. what's your vibe? What's the vibe check in South Beach?
Yeah, I've been burnt before by getting too excited about a Dolphins team. Whereas, like, the Jets, you can kind of just bet every time that the hype isn't real. But Miami, you can kind of, like, toss and turn. And I kind of think they've got something really cool going on. Maybe Tua is highest end a game manager, probably is highest end a game manager. But what they've done is set him up with weapons that are so good that he can't really mess it up. I mean, he actually is a pretty efficient deep ball passer, even though there's a small sample size there. He's actually, you know, among quarterbacks that have thrown 150 more or more attempts in 2021, he was the third best completion percentage in the NFL on 20 yards or more passes. Wow, that was a real mouthful. Sorry. But basically the point is he's a lot good. Better at throwing deep balls than you think. And I think you can see that translating really nicely for the weapons they have. Jalen Waddle, obviously, speedster. And then, you know, you mentioned Tyreek Hill, even Mike Gesicki, even Cedric Wilson, the guy that they signed in free agency from the Cowboys offense. He was the third receiver that really broke out at the end of the year last year. So I like what they have on offense, and I think the defense is good as well. You can really see that team being built properly. And with, you know, Mike McDaniel being seemingly a sort of a wunderkind, I could see them potentially jumping past the Patriots this year. What with the Patriots sort of having wheels fall off at this point in the season.
Sure. Before we get to the Bills and just the juggernaut of offense they're putting together, what about this tampering stuff with the Dolphins and Brady, and then Brady quasi-retiring and then coming back? I mean, I know you covered Brady in Boston for a number of years. Are you surprised by all this? And how does Brady just escape any blame in all of that?
Yeah, so the Brady escaping blame thing is actually a simple answer, but kind of complicated. I talked to the league about it a little bit, and it's really that they in these situations, they focus on the team, not the player. And whether that's right or wrong, they have little precedent of punishing the player for tampering. It generally goes to the team. So Brady kind of gets through unscathed through precedent, even though, as the league pointed out, this is one of the most egregious examples of tampering in the history of the league or recent history. And it's kind of over the most important player that's ever played the game. So the stakes were really high,
right?
And it's certainly strange. It goes back to when Seth Wickersham, I don't know how versed non-New Englanders are on this saga, but back in a few years ago, Seth Wickersham kind of blew open the strained relationship between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. It was years before Brady left New England. It was right around the time the Patriots were heading into the Super Bowl against the Eagles, I believe, which they lost. And nobody really believed it. People didn't think that this was legit, that Brady, that sort of Wickersham was fabricating this blow up that was happening. And then as the years went on, as the months went on, it was clear that there was tension and that Brady wanted a bigger contract. He wanted to retire with the Patriots, and Belichick was unwilling to give it. Belichick wanted Brady to stay year to year because he's Belichick and he's very conservative with older, potentially fading players. So
right.
It's bizarre / you know, soap opera drama level stuff that Brady is going behind the Patriots' back before he's a free agent to sit on the yacht of Dolphins, a division rival, Dolphins owner Stephen Ross's yacht, to, like, you know, get some afternoon tea or, like, drink a beer or whatever they were doing. probably champagne. I don't know. The rich and famous probably have their own special afternoon beverage. And they're chilling there talking about a potential pairing. And that conversation continues into Brady's time with the Buccaneers, which is crazy, too, that he then backstabbing his second team. It's all interesting.
I believe that he did it again. I don't. There's always so much smoke around Brady decisions that I don't believe Bruce Arians quit because he wanted to move upstairs. And Tom, I think that thing is far more complicated than everybody wants to say it is. We're kind of up against it. We're talking with our friend Henry McKenna from Fox Sports, covers the AFC East. The Bills are obviously the AFC East favorite. They're also the favorite to win the Super Bowl, according to Vegas oddsmakers. How good is Buffalo, and can their defense get stops when they have to?
Yeah, their defense is interesting. Tre'Davious White, the top cornerback, is coming off an ACL injury. He should be back soon. So they're kind of like in flux there. They also lost Levi Wallace. That's a really important and sort of, it's kind of the biggest point of question on the defense, because otherwise, safeties, they're set. Defensive line, they're incredible right now. There's so much buzz about Gregory Rousseau, who's a defensive end they drafted in the first round last year, was kind of like a developmental guy, and he has developed. So put him with Ed Oliver, and you've got this really intimidating front. So the question is, can Kaiir Elam, their first-round pick this year, can he develop into at least a cornerback two, and can Tre'Davious White come back from his ACL and be a cornerback one? That's the storyline to monitor for the Bills, and if it comes to fruition, if it works out in that way, they'll be one of the best defenses in the NFL again. And then on offense, it's kind of like, what I would say for all you fantasy football players out there is draft Gabriel Davis. I'm going to do a feature on him later this week, but he is going to be the second receiver in that Bills offense. And we've seen what the second receiver can do.
Did he go nuts in that playoff game?
Yeah, he went nuts against the Chiefs. So he's kind of their guy. Josh
he had like
Allen
three
really
TDs, 250 yards or something.
Exactly, yep. So yeah. He came into camp. The only thing that the team could say bad about him was that they were worried that he was working too hard because he would not spend any days on vacation during the off-season. So he didn't take an off-season. He just worked all the way through it, which, like, I don't know. You can argue that that is kind of detrimental for a player. But, I mean, he saw his opportunity to be the second receiver in this offense, and all he did was, like, dedicate himself wholly to that opportunity. I think he gets the job. I think Josh Allen really loves throwing the ball to him. So I expect him to be very relevant in fantasy this year. But
absolutely.
And I think that's like I'll let you wrap it up if that's what you need to do.
Yeah, we got to run. But, dude, I appreciate it. We'll check back with you maybe after the preseason games are over and see if there's any improvement with the Pats and what you think is going to happen. Again, congrats on the new gig, bro. Keep killing it. Everybody give him a follow at McKenna Analysis. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, JP. Take it easy.
All right, that is our guy, Mr. Henry McKenna. Here's what we're going to do. Coming up next, switching gears a little bit, the University of Maryland signed a big-time basketball recruit. Jeff Ehrman covers the Terps better than anybody. We're going to talk about Jamie Kaiser, I believe his name is. Question for you, if you want to win some Nats tickets. Phone lines are open, 800-636-1067. What did I purchase from Walmart yesterday? 800-636-1067. Whoever gets the answer gets some Nats tickets. Don't go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Congratulations to Jeff with a G. You have won a 4-pack of tickets to see the Nationals play the San Diego Padres Sunday, August 14th at 12.05 p.m., courtesy of Crop Metcalf. Let the 5-star cooling experts at Crop Metcalf help you beat the summer heat. Air conditioning, maintenance, and repair, installation, and service agreements, a Crop Metcalf 5-star technician will assure your family's comfort all season long. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit cropmetcalf.com. That is the ad read. I will add parenthetically, get to go see Juan Soto playing for the Padres. Congratulations, Jeff G. Now, we're going to talk a little basketball, all right? We've been all football all day, but we're going to jump into a little Maryland Terrapin hoops with my guy Jeff Ehrman. Jeff Ehrman is the best Maryland reporter there is out there. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff_Ehrman. Runs his own website, Inside MD Sports, part of the 24/7 Sports Network. Jeff, what up, man? Thank you for taking some time with me today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, JP. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the kind words.
I mean, you're the best guy doing it, dude. I'm not blowing smoke. I've told you that myself. So let's talk about it. Big news for the Terps yesterday. Obviously, Mark Turgeon quit on this team a little less than a year ago now. It's probably January or whatever. I guess it was like November or December. So they hired Kevin Willard from Seton Hall this offseason. Willard got his first big-time recruit. Tell us who they got and what we need to know about him.
Yeah, they got Jamie Kaiser. He's a 6'6 shooting guard from Burke, Virginia. He was a football recruit heading into the spring. You know, he was a good basketball player, but had more opportunities at football. And then all of a sudden, he performed really well on the AAU circuit, and a lot of schools started calling, including Maryland, which was basically his dream school. He'd grown up rooting for the Terps. And so they fended off some late competition from UCLA and Indiana and Virginia and got him. He's a really good shooter, but also a guy who can do a little bit of everything. I think that's why they like him. He's a really versatile player. And, you know, they really have to restock the roster. There's not a lot of established players there. So, you know, Kevin Willard has a lot of playing time to sell immediately. Next year's roster is almost wide open when you consider – you know, right now there's not much of any substance or any proven substance on the bench, and most of the guys in the starting lineup are seniors, so there's a ton of playing time. I think that was arguably the biggest thing with him, you know, along with having grown up a Maryland fan, so they got that done. That was a huge one, and now they're trying to move on to a couple other guys to fill that class for next year.
They haven't played a game yet, so it's maybe a little premature to start grading. But how has Willard fitting in now as the head coach of Maryland? Obviously, from like a program standpoint, the resources at Maryland have to be significantly higher than what they were at Seton Hall. I know Maryland doesn't maybe have the resources that Michigan or Carolina or somebody has, but they do have decent, if not good, resources. How's Willard fitting in?
I think he's fitting in, you know, better than anyone could have imagined. Everybody I talked to who spent time with him, you know, raves about him. The first thing they all say is he's a normal guy who you would sit down and drink a beer with. He's not one of these psycho coaches. He's not one of these salesmen. And, you know, Mark Turgeon was very likable too, but a little more in a guarded kind of conservative, you know, just kind of way, I think. So everybody's raved about him. He's done a really good job of focusing on bringing back a lot of former players. They've had virtually every star has come back from the past 20 years during the past few months. He's focused on that. That was a complaint during recent years. A lot of former players felt like they weren't wanted around. They weren't invited to come back, so it didn't feel like a family, so to speak. And then, you know, players seem to like him, and obviously, you know, he's recruited pretty well up to this point, but, you know, this was the biggest score recruiting-wise so far. There was still, I think, some concern from fans, you know, about whether he'd be able to get these kinds of players, because in the spring, you know, in the transfer portal, he got good players, but this was the first really heated recruiting battle that he won, and so now there's a lot more belief that he can keep those top locals at home, which has always been the issue for Maryland.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes people are a little unreasonable in their expectations of keeping kids home. Like, it's easy to say that, but sometimes kids just want to get out of town.
Yeah.
And I never begrudge that. How good is this kid? Is this a one and done? Is this a two and done? Is this a four-year player? What are we talking about here? And do they expect him to grow more? 6'6 is big. If he's a 6'6 shooter, that's really good in college. I don't know that you're kind of one of many on a pro level.
Yeah, that's a good question. He, you know, ratings wise, he doesn't look like a one and done or a two and done. He's ranked number 70 in the country. Some of that is, I think, is because of where he started, you know, well outside the top 100, just because he wasn't a known commodity going into the spring. I think he's probably maxed out at 6'6. He's got good athleticism, not, you know, insane athleticism, but definitely good enough athleticism. He can shoot, and he's just a grinder. He's one of those guys with, you know, incredible work ethic. So, you know, I could see him being a guy who heads the NBA after a couple of years, but he's going to have to develop, you know, obviously. And that was another reason why he chose Maryland. He felt like he would develop there. But, you know, these days you never look at anybody as a four-year player, you know, except, you know, anybody who's anywhere in that top 100 range, you never look at as a four-year player, because even if they're not a legit NBA prospect after 3 years, they still leave a lot of the time. But it's really hard to project with him. He'll get the chance to play right away and showcase himself. I can definitely see him being a guy who goes off to the NBA after a few years, but he's not one of these surefire five-star guys who you're like, you know, we're only going to have him for a year.
Gotcha. I think it's great that Willard identified a prospect. Kind of was, I don't know if I read it from you or if Willard said it, but it said this kid's our number one priority. They got him. I like that a lot. The other thing I would add with is he a 2-3 year player with the transfer portal? Who the hell knows what anybody is anymore? What do you think of how do the Terps stack up in the NIL world? Like, what is their plan going forward? Because I know, you know, everybody thinks Kevin Plank just has to keep cutting checks. If I'm Kevin Plank, at some point, yeah, I don't want to keep cutting checks all the time.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I think that is, from what I've been told, that is kind of his sentiment at this point, because he's just, you know, given time and time again, the biggest one, I think, being $25 million toward that $200 million football facility that they have now. You know, football-wise, they haven't announced their NIL plan yet. I think their program will launch pretty soon. From what I'm told, it'll be significant. Basketball-wise, they've been doing it for a while now. Players who come to Maryland, you know, Maryland is going by the book. I'll put it that way. Players who come to Maryland are, you know, they know that once they get there, they'll have an opportunity
to earn some good money on NIL with charity appearances and social media and other things. But it's not one of these Miami kind of situations where you're just shopping and just, you know, dropping six figures on players left and right. I mean, they openly, you know, anybody who follows it knows by now that the mega booster John Ruiz there paid $800,000 for a basketball transfer for 2 years. And, you know, not even a superstar, a very good player, but it's not one of those deals. So they're playing it by the book, but they do have opportunities there, and I would say it's definitely helped them in recruiting in some instances.
All right, good. Call me crazy, but things at the University of Miami tend to kind of ebb and flow. So things might go well, and then they'll fall apart, and I won't be stunned by anything that happens down there. two quick ones. How's Loxley's football team look this fall? God, I wish they were still in the ACC because they could win 7, 8, 9 games and go to good bowls. They're just in such an impossible division in the Big Ten.
It really is tough. I always say they're pushing a million-pound boulder up a hill every year. No matter how much better they look, that schedule is still crushing. But they are better. They do have their most loaded offense in years. I mean, probably their most talented offense since the Frisian years. They have, obviously, Tagovailoa back. He broke most of the school passing records last year. You'd hope he'll be even better, cut down on some of those mistakes. You have your entire starting offensive line. You've got a wide receiver core that, you know, is probably one of the top 10 in the country, definitely one of the best in the Big Ten if Dante Demas is healthy, which appears he is. Really talented young running backs. There's a lot of questions on defense. There's talent there, too, but as always, you know, that's the question. Maryland just hasn't held up defensively since they joined the Big Ten. So, long story short, they've got their best shot to do something. But, again, the schedule's rough. So, whereas, like you said, if they're in the ACC, you'd be dreaming about 9 or 10 wins. Maybe you're thinking that getting eight with this schedule would be the jackpot.
Last one, Big Ten, adding USC and UCLA. I find it impossible to believe that they're done now. You think they go westward expansion or somebody else on the East Coast or Notre Dame or what?
Notre Dame is the big domino. They just keep holding out on everybody year after year. I think they like being the prom queen, just having everybody ask sure. them over and over again to go with them. So that's the big one. Maybe nothing happens until Notre Dame decides, whenever that might be. And then I think, you know, from what I've been told, the Big Ten is interested in Stanford and Oregon, which other people are saying, you know, they don't believe the Oregon. I think there's a good chance they will go after Oregon. And then last time around, you know, they wanted three schools from the ACC, North Carolina, Georgia Tech, and Virginia. Those teams are bound by this grant of rights, in which they would have to pay an ungodly amount to leave. But, you know, I'm sure that I think there's lawyers working around the clock to get schools out of that, including Clemson and Florida State, which seem like they'll inevitably leave for the SEC, in my mind, one way or another. So, you know, I don't know when the next round will be. No one does because, I mean, look at this USC-UCLA thing. It just popped up out of the blue. It's amazing to be able to keep something, a deal of that stature with a major universities and a major athletic conference completely quiet. So who knows? Could be 2 years. It could be tomorrow. They're pretty good at moving in silence.
Absolutely. Speaking of moving in silence, Jeff, you know how much I am a fan of your work. I'm just going to remind you that you are on 106.7 The Fan with B. Mitch and Finley.
Oh, Jesus. Yes, sir. I got you.
I appreciate the time, brother. Thank you, man.
Thank you, JP. Have a good one.
All right. Later, brother. That's our friend Jeff Ehrman from InsideMDSports.com and Maryland 24/7 does a great job covering the Terps. If you're a Terps fan like me, he is the one seed of reporters. Give him a follow at Jeff_Ehrman. We got Pete Haley joining us at 1 o'clock, breaking down major news out here in Ashburn at Commanders Park, where defensive line coach Sam Mills is gone. Don't go anywhere. It's BMS.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. baseball your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
10 minutes, Pete Haley, NBC Sports Washington, will join us. Right now, though, listen, we've been talking a lot of football. And if you don't like football, I'm probably not the guy for you. Let's be honest here. If you do, allow me a quick interlude. Because I read a story this morning that caught my eye that I couldn't help but think Lamphill needed to know. Lamphill, are you sitting down?
Always.
Okay. The New York Post is a fine establishment of journalism. And the New York Post had an article about an Italian decathlete. The decathlon, I believe, is when they do 10 events and you like get points for each event and try to win them all and win the gold medal. Now, this was an Italian decathlete that ran into a wardrobe malfunction. Lamphill?
Yep. That happened.
Read you the headline here. Especially in decathleting. An Italian decathlete was faced with a dilemma during a 400-meter race at the 2022 World Athletics Under-20 Championships in Cali, Colombia on Thursday. Whether to compete with his genitalia out or to cover up. Alberto Nanino began the race strong, separating himself from the pack and entering the first bend in a good position to secure the race victory. Things quickly went awry once the 18-year-old began experiencing notable discomfort. Cameras captured Nanino adjusting and looking down at his shorts, only to realize he had accidentally exposed himself to the thousands of fans in attendance and at home. The Italian continued to compete in the race, though he was severely hampered by having to use his hands to shield his private part throughout. The issue continued to plague Nanino as he ran down the back straightaway and through the final bends. He slowed down at the final straight in order to cover up for good, thus accepting last place in the contest. Not to be overlooked, however, was Nanino's ability to overtake two competitors earlier on in the race, despite having to readjust his bottoms the whole time. One onlooker was blunt in their description. Last series of the 400 meters decathlon, the Italian Alberto Nanino in lave 5 begins very well, but crosses the finishing line last. He went balls out, literally, journalist David Sanchez de Castro wrote. Nanino wrote about it on Instagram page. He said, I just want to talk to you a little bit about the rumpus there's been on blogs, about the rumpus there's been on blogs and social media in general. I'm conscious it was obviously an accident, and I'd like to tell you I'm aware of the reaction, and you don't need to send me a link to the blogs out there. I'm trying to laugh about it now, but immediately afterwards I felt terrible, and I'm thankful to my friends and family for helping me get over what happened a few hours ago. Lanfield, do you feel terrible for Roberto Nanino?
No.
Alberto Nanino, pardon me.
I wouldn't say terrible is the word.
Here's where I think we can really excel here, fellas. And we'll loop Jeff Walker in here. What do you think happened to Mr. Nanino? Do you think he just forgot to wear drawers on the day of his big race? Because that seems rather forgetful.
I'd
say that.
I'm not exactly what's known as an athlete, but my understanding is they wear kind of small clothes so, you know, it doesn't restrict them and stuff. Maybe it's just, you know, you do some adjusting and then it happens.
Just pops out?
Yeah.
I ran 2 miles this morning.
Big
now,
time.
I like bigger shorts. I like to wear big shorts, Lanphill. Which aren't really the style anymore. All these young folks like to wear short shorts. Like, it's not for me, but whatever.
You get a lot of airflow on the upper thigh, and it really cools you down if you go with the short shorts.
I hear you, but I don't know. I knew it was going to be very hot at Commander's Camp today. This was a situation where you got to wear, like, Nike, and don't get me wrong, the name is a little over the top, obviously, but Nike's, like, highest level of drawers are called Pro Combat. And you put on your Pro Combat drawers, nothing's moving. All right? Like, you are staked down in position no matter what happens. Hurricane gale force could blow through, and the winds will not move if you got the pro combats on. That's what I wore today because it's going to be very hot, and Lord knows chafing can become an issue. So I went pro combat. Somebody needs to get Alberto Nanino. You know how more and more, Landfill, there are people have, like in golf, you get a swing coach, a putting coach. Baseball, everybody's got swing coaches. You got pitching coaches. Hell, the Commanders have defensive line coaches, old and new. They got all sorts of position coaches. Somebody needs to get young Alberto Nanino a drawers coach. Just somebody that reminds him to put his drawers on, make sure they're long enough for the distance you're running. I feel like this was a preventable accident for the young Italian decathlete.
He either needs a pants coach or just some tape.
You know, tape may work during the race, but I don't know that I'd want to experience the removal of the tape.
I think there's like some medical tapes that, you know, you can remove those and it's not a huge issue.
Yeah, but will they hold during a 200-meter decathlon race? This is a complicated issue.
Very complicated.
Does Jeff Walker have any expertise? Because he ran track.
I'm also going to be honest with you. I have no idea how long 400 meters is. That could be like 12 feet for all I know.
400 meters is a full lap around a track. I think this was 200, but it might have been 400. I don't remember. But 400 meters is a full lap around a track. 200. This was a 400-meter race. So, like, the track at your high school, it would be one full lap. Four of those is more or less a mile. B. Mitch ran track. Perhaps when he's back tomorrow, when he's picked out his barrel of bourbon in Tennessee, we can ask him if he had a drawers coach, a pants coach, an underpants coach, whatever we think is the best way to term it. Maybe we should ask Brian if he ever had this problem running track. We'll do that tomorrow. We'll ask Pete Haley, too. Hell, he's joining us next. Don't go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.